For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
From the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center, this is the Boston Bash Brigade, live at PAX East 2013. No visit to PAX East would be complete without a visit to our favorite game developers, Twisted Pixel, and joining us right now is one of the masterminds, Mr. Jay Stuckwich. Welcome to Boston Bash Brigade.
Thank you very much. I don't know about mastermind, but some kind of a mind, I guess.
Evil genius.
So, since becoming a part of Microsoft Studios, has creating and working on a new game such as this become easier or harder?
Actually, it's business as usual. It's no different than any of the other stuff we worked on. Microsoft pretty much knows that we have a formula that works, and they let us be and let us run wild with games with motorcycles carrying men behind them.
So where did the idea for Local Cycle first come into fruition?
So actually that came from creative director Josh Baer. He's one of the founders of Twisted Pixel. He was loaned a movie called Torque, if you've ever heard of it.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of like motorcycles, but with
bike in there.
Yeah. He borrowed that movie and watched it and had a dream that night about motorcycles fighting, and came in the office the next day and like, dudes, we got to make this game. After that, everybody in the office was like, yeah, okay. It did not seem out of place at all.
So what are the similarities and differences between Local Cycle and the past properties of Twisted Pixel?
This is quite a larger scope of game for us. I mean, Gunstringer was big. Maul was pretty good size, but I mean, it was pretty simplified the way we did it. But this game is pretty huge. I mean, adding in the different seamless cinemas and all the different unique fighting styles and things like that. It's definitely the biggest game that we've worked on to date.
We were just watching a whole demo of it, and I could like see little nods. We see Spy Hunter, we see Road Rash, we see all these different types of racing video games that I grew up watching, and a lot of like the gun games and such. So how much like inspiration from the past have you brought into Local Cycle?
Well, we definitely like to do that with all of our games. You know, we're inspired by a lot of classic titles and stuff like that. So it's definitely a nod to a lot of the classic, you know, car racing games and car fighting games and shooting games and things like that. We just decided to combine it all into one entity.
Yeah, and it looks really impressive.
Thank you.
So throughout the game, we see the character of Pablo, played by Freddy Rodriguez, being dragged on the rough terrain by Iris, which normally would kill someone within the next few minutes. So what's your big sciencey explanation for how he keeps surviving?
Pablo just happened to be wearing his best coveralls that day, his most expensive Pride and Joy coveralls that he paid a lot of money for, and thank God they're saving his life right now.
Has the asket plate in it.
So, speaking of Freddy Rodriguez, you also got another big actor. You got Mr. T-1000 himself, Robert Patrick, to play sort of like the antagonist of the game. What was Twisted Pixel's reaction when you managed to score such a big-named actor to be in this game?
You know, we were we instantly thought that Robert would be the great choice for the character of Spike. He's such a motorcycle enthusiast anyway, and he's just got that real raspy, gravelly voice that we wanted Spike to have, seeing that he's more of a Harley-type motorcycle, just that rough-and-tumble-ness to him, and we knew that Robert was the guy that had to play that part, and he was more than happy to do it. So, of course, we were at Twisted Pixel were ecstatic to get him to be on board with this.
Awesome. And we were just looking outside. You've got like these very nice replicas of both Iris and Spike. Have you ever had a chance to try and ride them on the road yet?
I have not. You have to be pretty damn tall to ride Spike. His reach is huge. You'd have to be 9 feet tall to ride him comfortably. We have had a motorcycle. The guy who built the motorcycles, he's been able to ride Spike, but not comfortably. Iris, she's got all the guts, but she's more for show and not so much for riding.
So, Twisted Pixel is always known for his great humor. For Lococycle, was there an instance when you were creating this game that you thought up with such an idea that it made you laugh on the floor crying?
You know, the whole game pretty much did. I mean, when Josh came in and said we're making a game about fighting motorcycles, you could just smell the gears, like, grinding and spinning out of control in everybody's heads, like, ready to make this funny-ass game about a motorcycle dragging a guy behind it. I mean, right then and there, I mean, that's the moment when we probably laughed the hardest.
So, I know you spoke about this game coming out sometime this year. Are you trying to go for the classic summer of arcade?
You know, at this point, we're not really trying to go for anything. We're just hoping to get this out, you know, in a timely fashion. We're feeling really good about it and hope that Microsoft sees a good time that they can launch this, and hopefully we're going to know something on that soon.
And now, besides Lococycle, you're also working on the phone port for Ms. Explosion Man with Iron Galaxy. So how is that going to be different from the console version?
So what we're doing with iOS version of Ms. Explosion Man is we've added some power-ups to it. So those will be in-app purchases that you'll do with tokens that you can earn throughout the game to buy power-ups to help you get through levels faster or achieve certain things easier to boost your time and points. We've also added challenges, such as different fame tiers, where Ms. Explosion Man wants to be a celebrity and rise through the ranks of stardom, and achieving those achievements, I guess you could call them, and also ghost challenges and things like that in there. So there's a lot going on that's different from the XBLA version on this, just in a smaller format.
Again, you're working with Iron Galaxy with us, who last year made the very brilliant Racketeer video game. How has been the relationship between Twisted Pixel and Iron Galaxy during the development?
Really, really, really good. They're actually have been good friends of ours for a long time, and we reached out to them to work on this project, and they've been a good good company to work with. They're a good group of guys over there.
Awesome. Now, it's no secret, Microsoft is about to unleash its next-gen console. Has Twisted Pixel started thinking about what they would like to work on for that when it's finally released?
Actually, we're always thinking ahead, wanting to go with, you know, the newest of the new if we can. Not sure where that's going to take us right now, but we're definitely thinking about stuff, which is what we're always doing. So,
and how do you feel that the Beard Engine will evolve on the next-gen system?
You know, Beard Engine has evolved since day one on Maw and has been going strong ever since, so who knows what's going to happen with that, but I know that that our programmer Frank is on top of everything, and he's made some great improvements to that engine. We're really happy with it.
Excellent. Jay, thank you so much for being here on the Boston Bastion Brigade. Lococycle, coming 2013. You better go out and get it, because it is amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm here with Colin Moore from Zombie Studios, showing off the game Daylight. Welcome to Boston Bash Brigade.
Hey, how's it going?
Going pretty good. So tell us, how did this idea for Daylight first come to be?
So Daylight actually started, we got a hold of Unreal Engine 4 from Epic, who's a great partner. We love working with Epic. And we got a hold of it and we started experimenting with it. Every time we get a new piece of technology, we put it through hurdles, figure out what it does, what's new, what can we do? And through experimentation, we found these mechanics that we could slowly start building off of. And got to a point where we're like, we kind of have something that's really cool here. And that was the random generation aspect that's now in Daylight. It started out very small of like a pet project, and we slowly started building up more and more, and it got to a point where we're like, we could really do something really cool with this.
What's the backstory of Daylight? Why are you in this abandoned hospital?
So, the idea is pretty much that you're in urban exploration. So, urban exploration is a whole big scene of people pretty much going out into, like, abandoned buildings and stuff. Like, I used to live out here in Boston, and there's all these great, like, abandoned, like, buildings from, like, the 20s and 30s that just, no one goes to them. Old mental institutions, old hospitals, old factories. So, it's a whole scene that people are doing now. So, Daylight pretty much has an urban explorer going to a hospital and pretty much finding things that are awry. They are not right. So you explore and pretty much figure out what has happened here. You can pick up notes, you can pick up doctor reports, newspaper clippings, and figure out, slowly understand, get an idea of what happened.
So you mentioned you used to go to like the hospitals or anything. Are you from this area?
No.
Okay, because we used to have the Danvers State Hospital.
Yeah. Hospital. Yeah. That's where we're our area. And then they turned them into condos.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when I lived out here a couple years ago, I remember looking for places to do, like, photo shoots and stuff of abandoned warehouses and our buildings. And I remember that being on the list, so.
So, what in Daylight will stand out from any of, like, all the other horror games that are currently out?
So, the biggest thing that separates us from any other horror game is the fact that the entire game is randomly generated. So, with a traditional horror game, and we've worked on horror games in the past, a sting. When we scare you, when you experience that, it's gone forever. You do it again, you're not going to be scared of it. So, with Daylight, we've set up a system that it randomly generates how the level will be laid out, what items will be placed in it, what scares will be and where they will be, how often they show up. It all changes. So you play it once, you'll have one experience. You play it again, totally different experience.
All right. So with this whole random generator setup that you have, does this mean that we're going to be able to find something new in each like playthrough?
So we are doing one thing. We're holding it. So we have a bucket of items that we can populate in the world. We're only putting it, every time you play, only a certain amount of things are placed in the world. So in order to see everything, you have to play through it multiple times.
Okay. That's really cool.
You also experience something new.
Right. So what kind of tools and like other things will we be able to find in this game in order to help us get through this abandoned hospital?
So, your main character pretty much has a cell phone. So, you have the cell phone light, the LED light. That is your main primary light source. As you explore through the level, you can find road flares to give you light. You can find glow sticks that will give you light. And then also, while you explore, you find lost items in there. So you find newspaper clippings, you find old doctor reports, you find all these things that give you a better idea of what happened here, and it gives you an idea of the story. It tells you a story through those.
It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you ever remember the Blackstone Chronicles. It was a book series that kind of dealt with the mental institution. It kind of had this sort of vibe where you had to find all like the hidden stuff.
Yeah, the influence-wise, I mean, we had tons and tons of influences. Jessica Chobot is helping us write the story for the game. And we've watched everything from great old Hitchcock films to Paranormal Activity, to more recent things like American Horror Story and stuff like that.
So what consoles are you looking to release this on?
Right now, we're primarily focused on the PC. If the opportunity came up to do a console version, we'd love to explore that, but we're primarily focused on the PC version.
You're currently in alpha build right now, but do you have a set time as to when you plan to release this?
We don't have a set time. It's going to be released in 2013, but in terms of exactly when, we're not sure.
All right. Colin, thank you so much for joining us at Boston Bass Brigade. Check out Daylight, Zombie from Zombie Studios. And what's the website people can check this out at?
You can check it out at zombie.com or playdaylight.com.
All right. Excellent. Thank you again.
Thanks.